Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming here. I'm joined as always by a man, he's been flicking up the frequent flyer points over at the IPL. Played for 38 T20 teams, Australian double century scorer, Bradley Hodge. Flemmo. Good to be back for the Bowlology Report. It's been a while.
It has, hasn't it? I've generally missed it. I can't even remember the last time we were sitting here.
I'll tell you what, you will remember it. Just before I get in here, though, when I typed in your name and I looked up, and one of the first things that come out was IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And on it, it's got all about Bradley Hodge, where you're Sandringham, 1974, nicknames, the Dodgeball, Hodgie. I just couldn't believe on a movie database that I had everything there, and it said your one show you've been on was Bert's Family Feud. Do you remember that? Was that Bert Newton's Family Feud?
I can't even remember, actually. I'm not sure if... I must have gone on there as one of Dean Jones's friends, I think. Something like that, maybe for a Cricket Victoria thing. Maybe when in that...
It said mid-90s.
It must have been when we were wearing those shorts. Maybe. Something like that.
But... Hey, just quickly, I'm in here. The Bushrangers are gone. I didn't have it as an agenda item.
Oh, my word, yes.
But Victorian cricket is now known as Victorian cricket, male and female. So the Bushrangers and the Spirit are gone as nicknames. How do you feel about that, Bradley?
Devastating.
You're a Bushrangers legend.
Well, I think it's...
You epitomise the Bushrangers spirit more than everyone.
Yeah.
Because you used to rob a lot of blokes.
used to rob a lot of bowls economy race. That's what I used to do. I feel sad about it, actually, because I think that we were actually part of that group that actually
started.
Went through it. I remember there was an online, not online, there was a thing in the Herald Sun back then about choosing, which brand or logo you want to go for.
What name?
For us.
Because normally it's an animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the Victorian reindeers. No, that probably wouldn't.
Don't know, but, the Bushrangers was cool. And look, the thing that I like about it is that most of the young kids resonate to the Bushrangers. Yep. You know, they know Stars, Renegades, but also they know the Bushrangers.
Well, you call them the Bushies.
Yep.
But it's gone. It's
so what are we known as now? Cricket Victoria.
Well, Victorian cricket.
Isn't that an exciting brand?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's back. It's what we were known as pre-Bushrangers.
Yeah, but we were crap before then. We were better as the Bushrangers.
Actually, I think we've won a lot of shields. And
true.
Haven't we? And you guys dominated T20 cricket when it
finished.
Although we were called Victoria then. I think we were called Victoria.
Just the Mighty V, I suppose.
The Mighty V. The Big V.
Yeah, Big V.
Bring it back for the footy. Hey, I looked up my... did you remember that Bert's Newton?
I don't.
I'm assuming it's Bert Newton. It might not even be Bert.
I guess it was Bert. He was pretty big back then.
I looked up my internet movie
database. You didn't get David Saker confused with Bert Newton? They had a similar structured face, didn't they?
It's only the... Actually, did Sakes go full plugs upstairs?
I don't know. He might have actually.
He's still got the facial.
He's got the goatee. Well, tell us about yours.
No, mine was. Geez, mine was. It was extensive. They've gone with the movie Slumdog Millionaire. They went with Neighbours.
Right.
Thank God you're here.
Were you actually in Neighbours?
Are you joking? I was on it last year. and I thought I did really well with myself, Shane Watson,
right,
who we'll talk about a little bit later. the legendary Meg Lanning. And okay. obviously I had to coach them two through it a little bit because yeah. they haven't done as much internet movie database stuff as I had. So I was, and everyone gave me a rap afterwards. And yeah. then when they announced it, they go, oh, and Damien Fleming in a cameo. Right. And I looked up cameo, it means one off. I thought I was going to get a regular gig
That's a bit
as
stiff.
A school teacher
yeah,
or someone like that.
If you actually did your job, you'd be hoping for a sequel for sure.
Thank God you're here with the Working Dog Boys.
What's that one all about?
I had a reoccurring skit where they believe sports people, in particular cricketers, will promote anything if they're paid for it. So they had me out at Australian Synchrotron out there at Clayton.
Right.
Selling nuclear energy. I was at the Werribee Sewerage Park.
Yeah.
So that was good fun. And there was one called Squiz on the SBS. I could barely remember that, but I remember rocking up. And do you remember an ex-Sydney Swans player, Dale Lewis?
Yes, of course. Dale Lewis, yep.
And he said one of the funniest one-liners I've ever heard. And there was a few older comedians on there. And he rocks up and he rolls his eyes. He goes, great. Now I know where old comedians go to die.
That would have made the producers feel good, I reckon, for sure.
And the last one there was a bit of a low light for me, Australia's Brainiest Cricketer. Yep. Remember there was a show, Australia's Brainiest, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my word.
So we did a practice of that, and I actually won it. So I went, whoa, here we go here.
Cool. And who are you up against, though?
We had Henry Lawson, who's an
Henry's
optometrist.
Yep.
You know, very smart. Mm. Greg Blewett, I'd always back myself against Bluey.
Yep.
Good afternoon to you. Rodney Hogg, so I backed myself against
You're gonna
Hogg.
Be Hoggy, yep.
Paul Rifle, I was a bit worried about Pistol.
Nah, Pistol was never that attentive to other things.
Greg Matthews, I reckon I had Moe covered.
You'd think so, you'd hope
so.
So
I had a, live on air, I had a shocker, I was out in about the first round, but it was hosted by Sandra Sully, who's now still doing
wow.
Channel 10
Isn't
News
she?
Now, and a lovely lady, very witty as well, because Greg Matthews, as you probably know, always... trying to just put her off a little bit, you know what I mean? Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. And she just looked up and at one stage and looked up to him and goes, Greg, whatever you're taking, take half next year. Boom. So
That's
Sandra Sully, Greg Matthews, caught and bowled by Sandra Sully.
That's good. Yep. Well done, Sandra. She's just, pretty switched on. She would have won that brainiest.
That's just smart. Very
not cricketer, but she would have won the brainiest TV presenter award.
Okay, we're talking about movies and TV series. What about this for a script? Since our last biology report with the now retired Bobby Quiney, the man who made the greatest nine on debut ever, would you believe this as a movie script? We'll do a cricket movie. Australian cricket team on tour. It's a very vicious tour. It's toing and froing, competitive. And it gets to a stage where the Australian cricket team decide that they have to win this series and they'll do anything to win it. Take some sandpaper out in the middle to help that ball swing around for the big quicks. And here we are 2 months later. And Australia used to have a coach called Darren Lehman, a captain called Stephen Smith, and a vice captain called Dave Warner, and now they are all Gonski.
And an opening batter.
And an opening
called
batsman.
Cameron Bancroft, who might not have lasted that long anyway.
He probably needed a few runs, Cam, but he's got the opportunity to. So 12-month ban. It's because it's unprecedented. People ask you, is it harsh? And, well, we don't have anything to go against, but I always thought it was harsh. I would have been happy with 9 months. And the ones that's frustrating me is they're going off to play. I think Stephen Smith's playing in the Canadian T20.
Yes.
Dave Warner and Bancroft are going up to Darwin, which isn't a bad thing. They get some cricket and obviously promotes cricket up there in Darwin. But I don't want them playing these peripheral tournaments. And there was talk of them going to county cricket. I want them to play Shield cricket.
Well,
actually, play Shield cricket. Imagine the young bowlers having to bowl to Stephen Smith and Dave Warner for New South Wales. It's still hurting the guys because they're not playing for Australia. But you know where I'm getting at? I'd rather play state cricket.
I get it. And it's an incredible movie script, actually. And I guess the front and centre, Captain Steve Smith, who'd be the leading cast member, the opposite cast member in Faf du Plessis has actually been done for something
twice.
Similar as well. So, look, tough times it
and
was.
And that's
for
the hard penalty, isn't it? Even talking to in the IPL to overseas players got to commentate, you know, Kumar Sangakkara and Scotty Storace and that. And particularly Kumar was saying it's pretty common knowledge ball tampering gets done by every team.
And
you might know more than me, being more current. But just even by the way that you're throwing the ball in from the outfield, making sure you're banging it up, that is tampering with the ball.
Yep, it's so standard.
Every team's doing it.
Every team, it's common knowledge that if you field it long off and long on, you deliberately have to throw the ball into the central wicket area to scuff the ball up before it bounces in to the wicket keeper. That's just common knowledge. And you'll see the umpire tell the fielder off every time he does it, with no penalty. This is a tough penalty. There's no doubt about it. Look, I was just at the IPL and not having David Warner there for the Sunrisers Hyderabad was, you know, hard to swallow. Steve Smith not captaining Rajasthan Royals. It was a bit of a letdown, actually, not having those two players there. However, you know, someone put down a penalty and unfortunately they have to embrace that penalty, and they've done that pretty well. I'm with you on the fact that I'd love to see him play Sheffield Shield cricket. I think that's actually giving back to Australian cricket more so than anything, because most of the Cricket Australian contracted players, if you're playing 15 test matches a year, you're not wanting to actually play in Shield cricket.
No.
So this is one of an opportunity where that actually can give back, work with these young kids from New South Wales who haven't been great in the last couple of years, blood the youngsters and get them up to speed. And I think that's a great way to feed back into cricket.
Yeah, well, it's not happening, but that would be my suggestion. and with this movie, this nightmare, Sandpaper Gate, what can we call it? What can we call it? Star Wars, Sandpaper Wars, something like that. I suppose the one that...
What about brush with your balls? Because that's where Cameron end up putting the sandpaper, didn't he?
Brushy balls.
Yeah,
because Spaceballs, that was quite a funny film. Mel Brooks there. Well, if there's a happy ending, it's obviously the new Australian captain, I'll say first. We'll get on to the coach, Tim Payne, who, as we've talked about throughout the Bowlology report, you know, less than 12 months ago was taking a job at Kookaburra. Retiring to take a job at Kookaburra. He's been brilliant as a player. His keeping and his batting has been phenomenal. So I think the captaincy is, even though it's a surprise, in pretty good hands there. That's the, I suppose, the one positive story out of it. What about the Justin Lang appointment? It was like a half volley?
Yeah, I think it was standard. I think that was always going to happen. And I think with what's happened in the past and they're questioning, you know, people's morals and ethics, I think Justin's the one person which can come in and clean up. I listened to his interview over there in India while it happened back here. I really liked the things that he had to say about, you know, Australians becoming more aware of other people around them and you know, accepting responsibility. You know, becoming good humans just as much as becoming good cricket players. You know, I think we all know that about Justin. I think that's one thing that he's taught, you know, the Western Australians especially, who are in a bit of a dark place, and manage to clean that place up and you know, get the best out of a lot of individuals. And I think that he's going to do a similar thing here. He was always, I think, in time going to take over from Lehman when Lehman was ready to step aside. So I think this blooding has actually, you know, been pretty good.
And there's a little bit of, you know, they're doing a couple of different reviews, Cricket Australia. So interesting the findings there. There was talk of, well, how can they appoint a coach before that? I reckon if they, once they've done all their reviews and they looked at all the candidates, I still think Justin Lang would have got it.
Of course he would.
So I think they've just got a little bit of the middle work out of the way and appointed it early. And, you know, he gets to... And this is the interesting thing for me, Hodgie, is talk about who's coming back in, you know, Smith, you know, Bancroft. Obviously, Dave Warner's taken a lot of the heat for this. But Langer gets to set up his culture and his team. These three boys have to come into it. And I think they'll come into it and accept it pretty easily.
Yeah, look, I think they will. Look, I think one thing you don't want to take away from the Australian cricket team is that they're a tough cricket side. And always have been and always will be. You know, ever since the days of Bob Simpson and Alan Border leading all the way through till today, we're tough cricketers. And we play hard and we generally play fair. I don't think we want to ever lose that aspect of how we play our cricket. We want to play hard. we want to be competitive, and we're winners. We like to win as well. So, you know, I think Justin will certainly, you know, he knows the essence of the baggy green cap and wore it with, you know, a lot of pride himself.
Oh, he's a fantastic player. So, great teammate as well.
100%. And he'll be able to set that tone well, and these guys will filter back in. I think this has just more been a generalisation of where cricketers are at in general with their life and where they sit in the cricket bubble. I think this will be Justin will be able to open their eyes to getting outside that cricket bubble, knowing that there's other things around you that are more important than just making sure that your grip is the right colour on your cricket bat.
Or the right weight, sandpaper your bat. It's the right... Were we banning sandpaper? What would that do for Mr. Cricket? Mr. Cricket had to have it to the right ounce.
Who actually had the sandpaper at the ground? The batsmen. Do we know that?
They had sandpaper in their bats.
Right.
They're that pedantic about it that they, you know, it's just a little bit. I know you probably weren't, but I know Mr. Cricket and batsmen like that. I think Cam Bancroft appeals like that type of cricketer. You know, everything has to be ticked off. Yeah. But with. Actually. Something happened the other night. Google Gilly.
What did Google do?
Adam Gilchrist. We know that he's probably one of the most famous men in the world. Yes. He was asked on Backpage, Fox Sports, what type of cricketer when Justin Lang is looking for. And he's saying that JL's got four daughters. And his philosophy is, when picking the team, would I want this player to date one of my daughters?
Right.
Jeez. How many... In your heyday, and when you debuted in the Victorian team, how many guys would Justin Langer pick from that team?
Not many.
There were some dodgy blokes, wasn't there?
No. And to be brutally honest, I wouldn't have wanted...
I reckon just Jopper, Jeff Allardyce.
I actually wouldn't want to date Lee Stillman's daughter, would I? No chance. No way.
But being in the era that we were going through and going out a fair bit, I don't think Justin would have picked... Probably you and me.
No chance.
And Dino, so and Merv Hughes, Mickey Lewis, David Saker. I'm thinking it might have just got down to Jeff Allardyce and Wayne Phillips, Rowdy.
Well, he's not picking them either. So there's not a lot to pick from. Is he looking for good cricketers, or is he looking for people to date his daughters?
Well, I think he wants both, and he's got high standards. And, right on. Good luck with that.
Well, he'll be on tour enough, so long as he takes...
Geez, he'd be disappointed Pat Cummins is injured for this tour.
Yes, we love
Because I reckon...
Absolutely. 6 foot
I've got a couple of daughters and Paddy's that... And they love Paddy.
Paddy'd be my choice.
They love Paddy.
Yep.
So opportunity. Australia's playing England these one days. So with no Smith and Warner, it does give opportunity though. That's the positive of this, isn't it? And if we think we've got a lot of depth in Australia... the squad: Payne, Finch, Agar, Carey, Hazelwood, Head, Lyon, Sean Marsh, Maxwell, Jai Richardson, Kane Richardson, Richo boys, Darcy Short, Stanlake, Stoinis and Ty. So does that mean it open up pretty much for Darcy Short to open up with Finch?
It might. I like the thought of Alex Carey still opening, even though that Tim Payne's the keeper and got the gloves. We've seen, you know, Matthew Wade do that as well. I thought Carey was excellent. I don't mind the fact that Travis Head might even go up there and has done it in the past.
I think he scored 100 opening.
He did at Adelaide Oval. Look, there's a few choices. Marcus Stoinis might even bat higher. You know, an opportunity to Darcy Shaw to be good. What it has done, though, is that we actually haven't been that impressive in one-day cricket.
Well, England flopped us over the summer.
So this might be a real good opportunity just to start fresh and come up with a brand new game plan and tactics and fire away and see how we go.
Well, certainly opportunities for the bowlers as well, because the fiery trio of Stark, Cummins and Hazelwood, Josh just pulled out with a sore back. They're saying it's not a stressy... But he's got back pain, so
he'll probably a little hot spot or something, isn't it? If something happens, but I'll tell you what, you are if you're the English batsman, you're going, thank God we had enough of them over the summer.
Thank God until you look down the other end and there's a guy that's peering over the side screen. Yes. His name's Billy Stanley.
Billy Giraffe Stanley. We've always had good quicks. Kane Richardson's a good quick. Jai's super talented, up and coming. You know, I like
and Andrew Ty
and AJ Ty, so of course.
He's just stepped up nicely.
You know, I like the Nathan Lyon selection, actually. You know, just to accompany Ashton Agar, who I reckon is improved dramatically as a as a white ball bowler. Yeah, I think he's always been a good cricketer. But Ashton Agar going over to England, you know, doing his craft trade, whatever it is, over in England, I think Nathan will actually help him out with a lot of mentoring over there. So I think that's a really good selection.
Yeah, it's, some people thought it was a surprise, but you remember that Gazzolini actually started in white ball cricket, South Australia.
Yeah, and look, I think people often see now that they're trying to get away from the finger spin and going towards leg spin. But yeah, you know, my theory is if you're a good bowler, you're a good bowler, and you'll still present a lot of challenges for the batsman, and that's what Nathan's going to do.
Okay, we'll do another bowlology report around that one. Geez, it's a movie field bowlology report. There's a doco, the Al Jazeera TV network, alleging they've done a doco. They've got people who are fixing matches, players and curators and blah, 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 and said maybe a couple of Aussies, a few English players were about it. But what so far we haven't heard is any names. And until I hear names, I just think it could be made up.
Yeah, it sounds credible, doesn't it? The Al Jazeera doco. Look, I'm not sure you can come out and accuse people of match fixing without any evidence or names. That's
in a drawn test match, the Australians were batting slow.
But well, you're going to try.
That's the purpose of trying to draw the test match.
Well, you can't win, so you're trying to just block it out and take time out of the game.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Freddie could have chosen that.
There is. Remember that doc footage that we saw? I think it was in Dubai. You know, and these leagues are starting up basically backed by betting types, and they're not ICC sanctioned. And I'm not sure what the ICC can do about them. But when I watch all these, and that was horrific, wasn't it? Blokes trying to run themselves out and giving them three or four chances to do that.
Yep.
Who bets on it, though? If someone's making money, someone's losing money. Why would you bet on something like that?
Oh, I've no idea. Absolutely. Someone has to be betting on it for someone to win or lose. And if it is fixed, then there's a lot of people flushing their money down the drain. The ICC president Richardson come out and just quote, you know, he was quoted talking about, you know, that corruption is an issue and we have to keep a big deal about it. And that's good. I like the fact that they are policing it and continue to police it. I'm not sure that this is credible at all until you actually have some evidence.
No.
The Al Jazeera doco, if you're just trying to get a bit of airtime, congratulations, you've done it. And now push on to some real story. That'd be good.
No, I don't think I'll be watching it unless there's some credible evidence in that one. Talking about good dramas or actions, the England cricket team taking on Pakistan, and they got absolutely whopped by 9 wickets. And we'll talk about Pakistan in a minute. But England, they've just some of their team selections. They've had 12 opening batsmen with Cook since Andrew Strauss retired. And I think they've played 12 spinners since Graham Swan retired. And there were some signs, I thought, against Australia, you know, Milan and players like that. It stepped up, but they've gone downhill in New Zealand and this one. And it's amazing to think that with Pakistan, right, that they play at home with Kookaburra balls on flatter pitches than Australia.
Yep.
Don't get to play home test matches and they can go over there and dominate like this. Says to me that I think Mickey Arthur's running a pretty good ship there. They're playing as a team. They've obviously got good skill, but they had a couple of first-class games. They had a test match against Ireland, so not bad preparation, but that's a whopping for England, an absolute whopping.
It's an absolute whopping, and I think there's a lot of things which go down to the success of Pakistan. I think Mickey Arthur has started to run a really good ship over there. They've got a good captain in Safraz who, you know, looks to be
Emily's
leading those
really,
guys.
Really passionate.
A lot of energy.
Absolutely loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, also the fact that they're actually playing the IPL, not the IPL, sorry.
PSL.
The PSL, which is getting a lot of people, outside of, you know, what people know out in Dubai. They come out, they play this great tournament. It breeds a lot of youngsters. It's pretty tough cricket. And the standard there was actually awesome. The fielding was miles better than Big Bash and miles better than IPL.
I think the fielding ratio was like 90% taken.
Catching, yes.
The bash was low 70s.
Yeah. So to me, that says that you're actually working pretty hard off the field. So Pakistan must be doing a lot right, you know, outside of the game, what we don't see. But congratulations to him. You know, Azam Mahmood was there. He was just saying, pitch the ball up and you'll get results. That's exactly what they
did.
But
I watched their attack, isn't it? I mean, Amir's a star. Did you see that ball he bowled to Bairstow?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just it was the avenue of apprehension from Amir there. It was fantastic. Abbas picked up 7 wickets. Asan's an interesting one. He's just an energy machine, you know, and he bowls good outswingers. And yeah, they've got Yasir there as well. So in English conditions, it's a really good attack. And then you've got Shadab Khan, the leg spinner. So yeah. If they get into a day 5 dust bowl, well, they've got the best spinner as well.
Yeah, we know that Lords never really turns, or no spinners really do that well on Lords. So the one thing they are, that actually, the flood of the wickets, the more dangerous they're going to actually be, Pakistan, I feel, because they're used to it. And they know how to manipulate, you know, wickets when the wickets are flat. So, look, I think England are in for a really tough series, actually.
Yeah, I think the one that, you know, they'll have to scrounge is their batting. The PSL, there wasn't a lot of the young, and we'll get on the IPL in a minute, you know, there was a lot of good young Indian batsmen getting runs. There wasn't as such. One of the ones that really impressed me, he's out of the series now, Babar Azam. He's got a broken arm. He top scored with 68 not out. Yeah. So they're going to have to scrounge, but with that bowling attack, they might not be chasing a lot. And for us, we've got the Ashes over there next year. These sort of performances, they give you a lot of heart. As an Australian fan, but for England, like Michael Vaughan even suggested that they need to break up Anderson and Broad and drop one of them.
I did see that.
But I don't think they're not the weakest link.
No, you got a pretty...
Their third seamer is a weak link. Their spinner is a... I mean, you'd want to give Bess good opportunity. Like, I think he's averaging 4 wickets a first-class game, only 15, 16 games. He got runs. So you give him time, but it's the batting, isn't it? They've gone back to Jennings, who's underperformed at test level before. I just wonder whether they're disjointed. They're opening up for the IPL now. The T20s on Friday nights, whether it is a little bit disjointed, their preparation.
Don't know, but I did see that Matt Prior was fairly scathing towards Michael Vaughan on the, you know, breaking up of the two legend fast bowlers, you know, stating that that wasn't the issue. The issue is that we're 2 for 20 every time.
Yeah.
And that indicates that they have gone through 12 openers.
But I'd rather them get forced out by people coming up.
Well, the thing is, what's being shown is if you're picking guys that aren't... they're getting the results of what they're getting in their county stints. So if you're averaging 40 in county, you can't expect too much more from, you know, from in test match cricket. It's tougher. It's harder. That's why it's called test match cricket.
Well, even someone like Mark Wood, who I think would have been nice in the test series out here, his pace and bounce and skittiness, 12 tests, he averages 41 with the ball.
Well, that's not good enough. I mean, we don't want to compare to our guys, but Stark is what, he'd be 29. Cummings is about 26. Hazelwood's around 26. They're sort of the numbers as a fast bowler, you know, you really want to have. Anything under the 30s is A grade, isn't it?
No problems.
Yeah. So they're the figures you sort of want to go towards. But it's tough. I mean, they're finding it hard, England. They've lost a bit of momentum. They've had a couple of players in the IPL. Does that affect your lead up? I'm pretty sure it does.
Well, the one guy that did perform was Josh Butler, who hasn't played test cricket for a while. And he came out of the IPL with not much... well, I don't think any first-class cricket and got runs. So that was a bit of a punt that might have worked. But we'll keep it on top of this series. But they need to unearth some quality batsmen. That's the bottom line for England.
I think that, they need to really have a look at you know, the Division 1 versus Division 2 runs and where they pick their players from. I certainly know that Division 2 is a lot easier than Division 1. And there's a reason for that. The better players generally seem to get, you know, win more often than not.
We might get a little bowlology report, Division 2.
Maybe. I just know that there's Division 2...
Bobby Quine out of retirement?
Yeah, they just haven't got the depth. So, you know, if you're making, benchmark over there, you'd hope you could get...
But you know what? You know, talk about Usman Khawaja. We'll talk about Joe Burns a little bit later here. But I'm backing Usman. If you play in this summer... I reckon he'll average close to 50 against India and all that. So and his troubles are overseas. For England not to be able to find batsmen that can score runs at home is the concern, isn't it?
Very much so, yep.
We know it's always harder away, but someone like David Malan, his technique looks like it's better suited for Australia.
It does.
You know, back foot, play square of the wicket. All right, we'll keep in touch about that. Now, very exciting tournament again, Bradley Hodge. You're back from it, and I was lucky to commentate the IPL, and it was the Chennai Super Kings defeating the Sunrisers, Hyderabad. I picked Hyderabad. I thought they might go all the way with their bowling lineup. But the star was my neighbour's colleague. I didn't look up all his internet movie database. That might be his only gig so far, Watto. But 117 in the final of 57 balls. He was naught off 10, Watto. But I got the opportunity to watch him in the Big Bash, Pakistan Super League and IPL. So when you've got that opportunity, I reckon you're very much T20 cricket fit. And when they needed him most, he didn't bowl in the final. He bowled pretty well through the tournament. An amazing effort from a guy who has been, when you look at all the raw stats, he's been a superstar white ball cricketer his whole career.
Unbelievable. Well, he was player of the tournament in his first year for Rajasthan Royals, and then come 10 years down the track, he's player of the tournament again, I suppose, or close to it. 117 in the final. Had a really good lead in with Pakistan Super League. Mm. Played the Big Bash and did well. I think he was really ready for this tournament, actually, where in the past he probably hasn't had that lead in. He's now settled in his family life as well. You know, it seems like the kids are at an age where it allows him to do those sort of things as well, which is good. Hats off to him. Like, what an amazing performance. To be able to go there and do that is just phenomenal.
Well, amazing performance. What about the actual team, Chennai Super Kings? They've been out of the IPL for 2 years.
Yep.
They come in, they play one game at home, then they have to start, there was trouble there, political trouble, so they had to actually start playing their home games away, which is hard because I reckon you would have done, or even I was hearing it just commentating the IPL, that they'd built a team on a turning Chennai Super Kings, Chennai pitch, a lot of spinners. That game plan has to go out the door a little bit. But the experience sort of come through. Dhoni as captain, Stephen Fleming as coach. So did you think the best team won?
I think it was pretty close in the end. When you actually look back and have a look at the way that Dhoni actually, I think he was pivotal in this whole situation to the fact that he fired at number six and probably won them 3 or 4 games off his own bat. Whereas when he was playing for the Super Giants, Pune, he actually didn't achieve that. So when he's come back into the yellow colours, he dominated attacks and won them a couple of games which they shouldn't win. That's just leadership. That's just having a complete knowledge of your ability. And also, you know, he gets the best out of people. I think that I read that somewhere as well, that, you know, people respect that he will get the best out of you. And that's, I think that's a style of his leadership that just works.
Very calm.
Yeah.
And a T20 cricket for me just seems frantic. It's set plays. If you're bowling and getting hit, you feel like you're rushed. If you've got a captain that looks really composed, I reckon that'd help you, particularly the young players.
Yeah, look, it does help. Look, I think they went in. I think the most exciting thing for Chennai is that, you know, and Buddy Rowe, dude, the top, did really well for them.
Geez, he smashed them.
He absolutely smashed them, which made Suresh Raina's job a little bit more easier. And it just flows on and on and on. And I think they just had the experience, you know, all through that team just to be able to get the job done. They were probably the worst fielding side.
Yeah, I mean, that was the knock, but batting-wise and bowling-wise, they were first class.
Yeah, first class. And you give and take a little bit, I suppose. We all want to have a good fielding unit. But what they did do is just, they actually just caught the balls as well. If the ball did go up in the air, the experience, you just hold on to it. Ground fielding was probably questionable, but, you know, you take that.
What about the Sunrisers? So you said Dave Warner, a late out. Kane Williamson certainly stood up. Certainly stood up.
Wow.
He was setting the tone, not just with his batting, but I thought his captaincy was proactive. His fielding was just at an elite level. So if you had one person to actually be able to replace, even though they were in the same team, but as captain, Williamson certainly was the man.
Yeah, he was. He was outstanding, scoring runs, leading by example. Look, I think the one thing that Sunrisers have got is They've got Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, who's probably he's probably the best 12 balls opening the bowling in any T20 competition at the moment. And they've got Rashid Khan. I don't think that there's any side that doesn't have Rashid Khan in their 11, which is not going to be in the top two teams. I just think it's impossible.
So he had a great series. What about his semi? He scored 34 off 10 balls, took 3 wickets, took 2 catches, 1 run out. Well, that's what you want from your imports. I mean, we'll get onto your team, Kings 11, Punjab, in a minute. But when it gets down to it, if the local players cancel each other out a bit or vice versa, you want a couple of the imports to be superstars.
Yeah, you do. You need that. And we've seen the impact that he's had in Sunrisers Hyderabad. He also had a big impact for Adelaide Strikers when he was here. I think it's just a luxury for a skipper to have that X factor. So here's the ball, mate. You know, whether it be an in-form batsman or a new batsman, he causes problems for everyone.
Yeah, and he's the sort of one, I don't know what you guys went with, but you can see some teams, a bit like Narayan from KKR, is you go, well, if we can just get one a ball off him and not let him get a wicket, then that's a win. So then what's that? 6 runs and over, happy days. But I just found when they got a wicket, they just about every time they got a second wicket, the incoming batsman dried up, would try a shot and they're out.
Well, there's not too many times you actually see Indian batsmen struggling to pick the ball and which way it's spinning. And that's what he poses. His leg spinner does look similar to his wrongen, which is why he's so good. And the pace that he bowls, he can't step out. Just a phenomenal cricketer. And looks like he's enjoying his cricket as well as a lot of the Afghanistanis.
Oh, he's competitive, though. Yeah. He's competitive. And one thing I like about Sunrisers as well, Sandeep Sharma, when he came in as well, they all had knuckleballs. That was really trendy in this IPL. And it's not an easy ball to actually learn. But straight away, within one game, you saw all the quicks, besides Big Billy Stanley.
Yep.
He probably doesn't need to. But certainly, this IPL said to me, I saw more fast-medium bowlers with more deliveries than any other year. And good on them, because they need it.
Absolutely. It did show up, actually. There was a lot more, actually, all around IPL trying to execute them. And it's probably going to take a year to get it right. So maybe maybe they've done their homework a little bit better than the rest of the teams and, developed these players into, very good medium paces with lots of change-ups. Because if you're only bowling 127 or 130 with no changes, you're getting pongoed left, right and centre.
No, you're best supporting actor. You're not the main show there. What about Kings 11 Punjab, mate? You didn't make the finals. It was pretty tight, really, from about fourth or third to all the way down to second bottom. I can think of two hot players, KL Rahul opening up, I think 50 or 14 balls in either the first or second game. It was amazing. And then two hot bowlers, Majeed, the 17-year-old Afghanistan spinner. Wow, how exciting them. And then AJ Tai, he's just gone a new level. He just looks that confident. You had the odd bad day, but, what did he take? 24 wickets in 14 games, economy rate good. That's superstar stuff.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. I think AJ was just outstanding for us in the tournament. Mujeeb as a 17-year-old was great. To come as a young kid into an IPL and not even flinch as well when he had to do all the hard things of which the captain Ashwin asked him to do. Bowl in the power play, bowl to the best batsman in the world. I think the one thing that was of a great memory was when he bowled his wrong into Virat Kohli and knocked the middle stump
That's
out.
That's right, yeah.
And, for a youngster to be able to deliver that to such an exciting player like Virat and get him out was probably the highlight for a lot of us, actually. Especially a young kid looking up to Virat as a Indian legend and legend of cricket. This is a nice one to have in your cap.
Overall,
disappointing,
Runs not great. Gale got going. I looked at a couple of those ones, but his output decreased as the tournament went on. And your couple of imports, like Aaron Finch, started with 2 ducks, and that sort of the newly married. It took him 3 innings to be married and get a run.
Yeah, we were asking for a divorce after the second game, actually. We were saying that the marriage is not working for you, buddy. So quickly get a divorce in and see if you can get back on track. No, we actually just couldn't get things going. We probably had, as pointed out there, 4 or 5 really good contributors and the rest, unfortunately, didn't quite get going. And, you search for answers, you train hard, work hard, but, you know, I guess you either click or you don't sometimes in these situations. And if you get halfway into the tournament and you haven't clicked, then, you know, you're really striving for something which probably isn't there.
I just imagine T20 cricket, it's not a great form of the game to get into form. You just don't have time and you're against the clock the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and that's where I think these leading tournaments or other tournaments like Pakistan Super League or Big Bash can actually help. I think, yeah, the one thing, if you can go to the Pakistan Super League and play, you're actually playing on similar conditions.
Yep.
Whereas Big Bash, we probably saw Darcy Short make a transition from Big Bash to Indian. You know how tough it is, especially the first time.
But it could improve him. Just quickly on that, you know, Chris Lynn, we looked at his figures, that he, even though you wouldn't say he's a great player of spin now, it's improved since he's got into the IPL. Because Darcy Short, as soon as he, after his first game, they just bowled spin and really just doesn't have... He doesn't either have the way to accumulate against them to keep ticking it over, or certainly, you know, he loves the pace on and using that bottom hand.
Yeah.
But when he's not sure which way they're going, it just creates doubt.
No, I actually had a Kingfisher Ultra with Darcy while I was over there, and we just
talked. The one.
I had a couple more than one. Only he had one. But we just talked about that. We were talking about the differences in Big Bash where you might only face, you know, six balls of spin or maybe 12 at best.
But a lot of them, you know, when they spin, you're talking about like Tom Cooper and Joe Burns.
Yes, you're not talking about Mujeeb, you're not talking about Ashwin or Axel Patel, Chahal. You know, these guys are super supreme guns of what they do. And you're facing 18 balls or potentially you're facing 18 balls. So, I mean, that's the one trick. But whenever you go over there to India in your first ever encounter, whether you play for Australia, whether you go for... You know, back then in the AIS Cricket Academy, it was tough. And you learn. And it's good to actually get the first one out of your way because you know you'll be able to conquer it, you know, as time goes on. And you'll learn about ways to score. And I think this has been a great thing for Darcy Short, actually.
Just quickly on the Indian play. Like, some of the imports were fantastic. You know, Russell and Narine. Jeez, I love watching him play. What about just a bonus when you got him a couple of years ago and now he's opening the batting?
How come your batting didn't kick on?
I would open in the IPL. Yes, there you go. I would bat like Narine.
I want to bat like Narine.
But the thing is, when he does miss out, he's gone in two or three balls. Like, he doesn't waste balls, does he? And he's so hard. Like, you know where he doesn't want him, but you're only allowed two fielders as well. So, well,
yeah, it's. I think there's an important point there that, you know, Robin Utupa picks up that slack, you know, at number three if things don't go well. If they do go well, then it's all rosy, but you don't want to be 2 for 5 every time. But
no,
it's rare that he actually
Lynn,
is.
And Lynn was consistent.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't rip it up like the Big Bash. You know, I think his strike rate was in the mid-130s, which is okay for any batsman. But with Lynn, we expected about 160, 170. But at least he got through uninjured.
No,
that's
he did
the main
well.
Thing.
He actually batted very well.
What about the young Indian bats? Like Pant from Delhi Daredevils, 680 runs. Iyer from the Delhi Daredevils, I'll get that out. Samson from the Roars. So there's some really good young Indian batsmen, isn't there?
I think when people ask you about the difference between Big Bash and IPL, I think for me this is the one thing that stands out is that in the Indian Premier League you get all your big guns, all your tests, all your T20 and all your one-day players playing. And then you get guys like this that stand up and play ridiculous shots and make 684 runs.
So none of these boys have played for
Rishabh Pant's played one T20 game. Suresh has played a couple of T20s, maybe a one-day game. Sanju's played maybe one or two, but very, very minimal. And you talk about the skill sets that these guys have. They're fearless. They're incredibly gifted. And it's just mind-boggling when you watch this talent, this skill just develop over time. It's incredible.
And they must, it's got to encourage Indian cricket as well, hasn't it?
Well, just the talent pool's amazing.
We've got the next guys coming through. We had Marvi with his pace as well, like under 19 player. You know, I think he's got something about him. And that bit of hot, but some of the coal, wasn't it? Like Ben Stokes, he was player of the IPL the previous year.
Yeah.
He couldn't get going at all. Maxi at the Daredevils, you know, not another, you know, a poor tournament from him. So, and you had Yuvraj, you know, at King's 11. So some of the older, bigger names. And the thing is, it just seems to be that same thing. You start badly and it's really hard to turn it around.
Yeah, you need to start well. You need to get yourself off to a good start, whether with the battle ball. And unfortunately, you know, the pressures come as well. The thing with, you know, international players especially, and also Indian, is that, yeah, your bench players are also quality. You know, they're really good players. And, you know, if you haven't got any form, as in term Maxi there, you know, you've got Jason Roy and Colin Munro on the bench waiting to take your spot. So it's a really tricky one, especially as manager or coach. It really is tricky to get that system right or that balance. And then, you know, you work out what you paid for Maxi, and, you know, I think he was up around the $2 million mark. So, yeah, as a manager or coach, you want to try and maximize.
Yeah.
You know, you've bought him for a reason, and you want to try and maximize that investment.
Jeez, it must be hard.
It is difficult. Your list right. It is difficult, for sure.
So I actually was working for Star Sports. We had a really good time. We were actually in studio, a dugout, so we were commentating off the TV. You know, Dean Jones, Scotty Storrs, Kumar Sangakkara, David Hussey, those type of blokes. It was great. Brett Lee, Michael Clark. And we had a little demo zone as well. I reckon there's some real future in that, actually explaining with the screen behind you, some Hawkeyes and, yeah, the knuckleballs, how to bowl it and those shots there. But we had some controversy when Dean Jones has now won two Pakistan Super Leagues for Islamabad.
Yeah.
But this year, commentating, he went to Alex Ferguson. He was in a suit most of the time, and he had this little red book he used to take out at the drinks break and read it to him and all that. Yeah. In the IPR dugout, it got stolen.
Right.
It got stolen. Dino was frantic about it. Then all of a sudden, his red book, it's like a coaching Bible, basically. If you get that, you will win the IPL because he's won two Pakistan Super Leagues. All of a sudden, we couldn't find it. He wasn't happy. And then Dino's book actually ended up having its own Twitter feed that had actually been stolen.
Do we know who stole it?
I don't want to mention any names, but it might have been a former New Zealand player. I think Brad Hogg got accused of it.
Okay.
But it started that a bit like JP Paul Getty, you know, I think his nephew got
thing
and they took off an ear.
Yes.
Well, the book started to lose some paper and put some requests in there. So we'll get on to Dino. Hopefully he got that back eventually. What about the Aussie summer, mate? You're looking forward to that? There's obviously been some changes with the TV.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen your move into Channel 7 with Punter, which would be pretty cool.
Fox, I'm looking forward to it.
Fox have got Google Gilly, so it'll be a battle of the heavyweights between you lot, I guess.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be against us, but I'll tell you who's going to win is the viewer.
The viewer
is certainly you're going to see two pretty good commentary teams there, you know, on Channel 7. One thing that excites me, we know how big the Big Bash is.
Yeah.
You've played and dominated in it and virtually commentated on the field. But, you know, to be able to do test matches as well. Like Channel 9 have done it since 1979-80. So to have that opportunity at Channel 7 with Ricky Ponting and co, I just can't wait. I just can't wait for that first day, first session. And it is a different commentary style, you know, doing test matches to Big Bash. So I look forward to the challenge of just adjusting and, you know, I find the Big Bash is particularly, it's almost set place, particularly in the second, in the first six overs and in the death overs there. But in test match cricket, we know it's a constant arm wrestle, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to give good analysis straight away or why something happened or predict over a period of time. So, but what about you, Bradley? You're no longer playing.
Me?
Surely you've been in deep discussions. Have we got anything to announce here?
Maybe next time. Maybe next time.
Do you want to do one tomorrow?
Well, I'm still in negotiations with East Sandringham Cricket Club. So, you know, that's an important part of my summer.
It definitely is. So, are you going on with East Sandringham?
Well, I'm not, but I'm just seeing whether I can coach the under-14s
definitely.
As well
and
a few other things as well. So we'll see. We'll keep this space open, eh? I mean,
can we announce it on the Bowlology Report next
maybe,
time?
Maybe,
I
maybe.
I don't think we will we?
Maybe.
Hey, Australia A was announced, so won't go through the whole squad. Mm. Going to India, no Maxwell, no Burns, who actually played the last test match in South Africa.
Yeah, don't get that one.
I don't understand it.
No, I'm not sure either. And they only came in because of the reasons we know why. So,
but they're next cab off the rank.
Or are they first picked? for the test team.
Yeah, but I would have thought, you know, particularly Maxi, who tended to play in the subcontinent, isn't he?
Yeah,
to actually in that there. I reckon Joe Burns would be unlucky not to play that first test match. That's without any Sheffield Shield for him, because I heard he was very close to being in the South African original.
Yeah, see, I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him open the batting. Actually,
and he's another one that I reckon might get tested in turning conditions or seaming conditions. But I think in Australia, I'd be massively surprised if he didn't average over 40.
I just think
the whole summer.
Yeah, I think that he's just at the right age where he just knows his game.
Knows his game.
And he can develop at any stage. He's just coming into his prime, and I think Joe Burns will deliver for Australia when he gets a chance again.
Okay, BBL. Some of the changes. James Faulkner.
Ooh.
Gone.
Your
back
boy,
to
he's gone.
Hobart. Faulks, he's gone. I think he might have got a good deal down there and play in front of his home crowds.
Okay.
The Duke. John Haystow has gone to the Sixers from the Stars.
Seriously? I didn't even know that one.
Yeah.
The big I thought Duke's the Duke's gone. Finished.
No, no. Not in the Big Bash. So right. I reckon he might sign a two-year deal, I think. And Nick Manninson's obviously come to the Melbourne Stars.
So we're just dealing with the Stars here? Because all those three players are Stars.
I don't know anything about any other team.
Okay. Well, I'm not playing.
Oh, so you're out. So
I'm out as well.
Is there any salt and pepper... Renegade players? Yeah. Tommy Cooper, is he?
No, Coops is a gun, mate. He's,
no, I'm just
he
saying
must
hair-wise.
A 10-year deal. Hoggy was there.
Is Hoggy still there?
He
or
must
not?
Be gone as well, because he was worse than me.
Okay.
So that's
that was
fair
his
enough.
Feeling in the end.
Yep.
Not very good.
They're interesting. James Faulkner's an interesting one. You know, he's been at the Stars.
He's the finisher.
The start. He didn't finish too much, to be honest, in the last year, unfortunately, for Jimmy. But he'll be able to go there. I think he'll have an impact at the Hurricanes.
It's actually for both, all three of those guys, actually. You just want them to be fit, you know, hitting. I think Faulks tended to have a little bit of knee trouble.
Yeah.
Haystow, I think, even admitted that, you know, retiring from the longer forms, it's actually a tough balance of getting enough cricket in before enough quality cricket before the Big Bash. And for Nick Manninson, we know his best is, you know, it's got a wow factor about it.
He has got a wow factor.
And maybe getting out of New South Wales might be a win for the
It
for
might
the
help
Stars.
Him. I mean, he only played Test cricket not long ago. He must have some... we all know he's got some ability. He just needed to get his game sorted out. He's coming to the Bush Rangers as well, isn't he?
No, he hasn't got a state kick.
Isn't he?
No state kicks.
Oh, we should get him. The torch will sort him out.
Well, I think the opportunity, I suppose if you're going to play Big Bash, why not come and play club cricket here?
Why not?
Because I'd imagine it's a reasonable deal.
Actually, we're looking for a top order batter of these, Sandy. We might get him. He might be the man.
Actually, I might go around because I've got myself off the Stars board. So
right.
7 years. Just thought, hang in there. Can we win it? We can't
right, remember. Is that because you didn't get a
time
flag?
Time to go.
Time for some
move the boy
blood.
On now. I reckon
fair
7
enough.
Years is about the right mark, I reckon.
Okay.
A guy that's finished up, AB de Villiers. Can we see him in the Big Bash? 114 tests, 228 one days. You know he averaged over 50 in both.
Yep.
And in one day cricket, he's got the fastest 50, 100 and 150. And they're all against the West Indies. So
what
they won't miss him.
My God, what a phenomenal cricketer he is. Just one of the most talented, gifted players I've ever seen across all three forms. Probably one of only a couple that can actually do it in all three forms. There is no doubt we'll see him in the Big Bash this year. Nothing surer in the world. He's probably, actually, I know where he'll end up. He'll end up the Stars. Why? Because Faulkner's gone and Hastings gone. There's plenty of cash just right there. So...
He might go straight onto the board.
Get your green jersey ready, AB. Straight from the green of South Africa to the green of the Stars.
He's got wow factor, though, because just even in that last test series against Australia, when he got going, it was like our bowlers did not know what to do. And our bowlers are fantastic, aren't
they?
Was
it Port Elizabeth that 100? It was
no, where was
there.
It?
But it was
there was a couple before that, wasn't there, where he just goes and... You know, it's a bit like Viv Richards and Brian Lara. It's just that wow. And he showed it again in the IPL, wasn't it? There was times in the IPL you're just going, how does he hit it there?
No.
What about that catch he took?
He doesn't miss hit it either.
And he's only 34. Great. So the T20 competitions around the world are going to say thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
And there should be one lucky Big Bash team.
They'll be lucky for sure, whoever they are.
We need to be commentating on that. Two new state coaches, Adam Voges, WA, Phil Jakes, New South Wales. You didn't put your hands up for either of those?
No, not at all.
They like you over there in WA.
I would have thought I got a call, actually. I would have sorted that stuff out over there. But Adam Voges, a lovely human being, lovely cricketer, and will fill the void from Justin Langer very well, I think. I also like the appointment of Phil Jakes. New South Welshman at heart.
He'd coached Queensland already.
Went to Queensland. Experience. Just had to leave for some family type issues and found himself back in New South Wales. And I think he'll do a really good job.
Okay, time now for the segment which every, I was going to say cricketer, but celebrity around the world just is shivering about. Well, a lot of them have got off social media, actually, because Hodgie gets them. So it's time. It's been a long time, Hodgie, too. It's the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. We need to do a leaderboard at some stage.
Yep.
What have you got for us, look, this segment?
Do you know what? I'll be honest, I've actually got nothing. And I'll explain why. Okay, so for the last 2 months, I gave myself a Twitter, Instagram type of ban, so to speak. And the reason being is that if you're a head coach of an IPL team, I cannot show you how brutal some of the comments are.
Positive feedback?
No, very negative, actually. Very negative. You do get some credit for some positive, but...
What percentage would be positive?
Ooh... Probably 3%. So,
I think that might be a smart thing by you.
Look, I'll get
the only
back.
Time I'd flick it on is just as the last ball got one. You know, when Watto hits that six at Genoa Super King, Stephen Fleming. Okay, I'm back on social media.
Yeah, well, it just wouldn't have been good for my mental health, I don't think, if I had been scrolling through Twitter and Instagram.
But going
most of the
forward.
Time. Going forward,
you're back.
Whoever's watch out next time. Watch out.
Okay, Indian fans, particularly Kings 11 Punjab fans, your coach is back on social media.
Yes.
Make sure you give him positive feedback, you 3% of Kings 11 Punjab fans. Oh, I've got one, and it's Dino's Red Book. And he's gone with how good is business class. He's actually a photo of him in business class. He's got some Bose headphones on, and he's at the front of the plane. So that's the first time we've actually given some votes, well, only votes, to a book. To a man who's would be up in the leaderboard, Dean Jones. He doesn't get maximum votes. He gets little sneaky ones, though, too.
I think that if I had been scrolling on Twitter throughout this IPL and dugout, Dino, I reckon, would have been pretty close.
No, he was
to
doing a lot in the
winning
dugout.
Winning by a long, long way.
And just on that, a little bit of not self-promotion, but Star Sports, who I did work with.
Yes.
They had to do a lot of work. So they had the world feed that was covering most of it, but yeah. I think there was six different commentary teams in Star Sports Mumbai doing different languages.
Yes.
They had us in the dugout. So it was just frantic. But Sanjog and Gary Burchett used to work at Fox Sports. Well done to both of you guys and to everyone in there, because it's such a big operation. What I like about Star Sports is, you know, they've obviously paid a lot of money, but if you're a cricket fan and like the IPL, if there's not some type of broadcast or language that you can't find, I don't think you're serious.
No. it was a very good cast, actually, Star Sports. And I did enjoy the commentary team. I actually had a couple of nights with your commentary team, which was pretty cool. It wasn't yourself, but it was Michael Slater and Matthew Hayden.
Yeah, big Doss.
We had some good times. Doss broke out the Monte Cristo number twos. And away we were drinking some red wine, have a good time. But that's
fine. As long as he's not playing James Taylor on the CD thing, I can handle Big Dossy.
He was talking fishing and cricket. He loved it.
Well, that's the biology report. It's been a while. We hadn't done it pre-South Africa, but that movie, we might have to add, maybe you can do a commentary role, into your internet movie database, Bradley Hodge, Burt's Family Feud back in 1995. Hopefully we can add to that with whoever you go to commentate with this summer. Rest in peace to the Bushrangers.
Yeah, that's not good.
Gone. Farewell. Never to be gone again. But we'll finish on a big night. Well done to the note. The Chennai Super Kings win.
Congratulations.
And I reckon we finish with their champion. With his
we're
son.
Going with champion. Where's Bevo gone?
No, we know his daughter was on The Voice.
No.
She didn't quite get to... Yeah, you would have been overseas.
Ah.
So, unfortunately, didn't go all the way there. But I think we'll go with DJ.
We better stick with DJ.
We'll be
well
back
done.
Soon.
Well
see done. You, mate. Bravo. DJ. Bravo. Champion.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.